The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Gary Capewell, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Yarmouth, Lingfield and Catterick in the afternoon, Kempton and Worcester in the evening, and there's also racing from Ireland on Wednesday evening as well with a card in Nace. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Yeah, top form, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. We've just come off the back of a pretty exciting weekend.
Yes.
We've got a pretty exciting week in front of us as well. And, we've got the July meeting coming up. You'll be there, Stephen.
I will. The Mowat and Shandon July Festival, to use its full title.
Say that enough times, they might send you some free bubbly.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
It worked last year with the Piper Heidsieck July Festival.
Good. You looking forward to it?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, obviously, I'm very lucky in working on the July course that, I'm there for every meeting. The weather 99% of the time is really good. The racing's always really good. But obviously, this is the big 3 days on the July course. And so, I can't wait. Got two cracking group ones. And at time of recording, we've just had the runners come through for Thursday's card. And it looks like a pretty decent car there as well, with the likes of Arab Spring running and that sort of thing. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah. We'll just have a quick look ahead to the two group ones, starting with the July Cup.
Yeah.
Slade Power, 5-2 market leader with us at the moment. Due Diligence, 4-1, 6-1 for Nuzo Canarius. Aljama here, 7-1, 10s for Soul Power, 12-1 for Hot Streak, 16s for Asteran Undrafted, and then 20-1 or bigger prices the rest. Slade Power, I imagine, will be pretty popular going into the race. He looks to have a favourite's chance, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does. His form's been really good over the last, 9-10 months or so, with his win at Ascot on Champions Day. And he won first time up at the Curragh, followed that up with a good win at Ascot in the Diamond Jubilee. And interesting to see Due Diligence and Aljama here both reopposing. He were behind him that day. Due Diligence, obviously, only a 3-year-old and could well have more to come from him. And I think he will definitely give Slate Power a good run for his money. But it's a decent standard to live up to be fair. And I think maybe the Spanish horse is interesting in the sense that obviously the Guineas form is working out so well. And they're dropping him back to a stiff six, having showed plenty of speed. Christophe Soumillon, obviously fresh off the back of a big win in Germany last weekend. He's a fascinating booking again, and he's a fascinating runner, but it's hard to get a handle on where he's going to slot into to the order, really. Obviously, Hot Streak is a very good horse as well. It's a good renewal. The only horse I don't really fancy is Soul Power.
Because of the trip.
Yeah, I think they might run him if the ground's quick because they've not got a lot to lose, and obviously it's worth £500,000, but yeah. A stiff six, I think, is just stretches him too much.
Yeah, going back to Nuzo Canarius, Christophe Soumillon's made quite a bold statement in the news as we record this on Tuesday morning, saying that he fancies the horse to develop into the best sprinter in Europe.
That's
a bullish statement, isn't
it? Very, very bold indeed. And, if he's going to be the best sprinter in Europe, he's going to have to win on Saturday, isn't he? Because, to be fair, it will probably just be about the best sprinters you'll get in Europe at the weekend. Obviously, Ireland's sprinters are actually quite good at the moment, with the likes of Slade, Soul Power, Due Diligence, as we've mentioned as well, as one or two others. Marek, of course, in there. But they generally ply their trade over here because there aren't that many races for them in Ireland. Francis sprinters aren't up to a great deal. There's been one or two exceptions in the last 10 years, like Marchandor, but generally they're not that good. And then after that, you're sort of getting on the peripherals of Germany, Italy and Spain. And, Nuzo Canarius coming up from the Spanish ranks, which is not something you'll hear very often. And it'd be nice. It'd be a great story if he won. And obviously foreign horses have got quite a decent record as well. We've had a Japanese winner. Obviously Ireland have done well. France have won it as well. Yeah. So generally, most of the time with the July Cup, the best horses do come to the fore. It's not very often that a rag wins, to be fair. I don't think we'll have a Les Arc type winner this year, for example.
Yeah, okay. What do you make of Hot Streak stepping up in trip? Because he's an exciting 3-year-old, but 6 furlongs, would that suit?
I think it will suit. I think it will suit him. I think he runs as though he probably could do with it. But whether he's sort of wise enough at the moment, because obviously still only a three-year-old, to channel all of his... what he's been doing so far, he's obviously got a lot of energy, a lot of, sort of speed and stuff, and he's just been blazing over 5 furlongs. Whether he can hold enough of it together...
Hmm.
To still be able to challenge us at the end. I mean, he might be there, but whether he'll have enough to see it out is something that concerns me at this time anyway. So, but I do like him, and I do think eventually 6 furlongs will be his trip.
Yeah. Okay, talking about the other Group 1 at the July meeting, the Falmouth Stakes. Integral 7-4, Sky Lantern 2-1 at the moment. Resina 5s and then double figure prices for the rest. Do you see it as a match between Integral and Sky Lantern?
No. But then also, yes, that makes sense. No, in the sense that there are some very good horses in there.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if neither of them won, because I do think the fillies are much of a muchness generally. There's no sort of standouts really overall at the moment. And then at the same time, I backed Sky Lantern at Royal Ascot because I thought she was a ridiculous price. And, you know, obviously she needed a run like everyone said she would. And I think they're pretty keen. I think it's all been focused on the Falmouth to try and avenge that defeat of last year where they obviously felt they were unlucky.
Yeah.
They appealed and everything and got turned down. And I think their sort of early season anyway is surrounded to coming on and winning. Winning the Falmouth Sky Lantern, and I think she'll be a lot closer to Integral. Don't really fancy Resina. She's not done a lot wrong, but the 3-year-old fillies are worse than the 4-year-old fillies, to be honest. Although I do think if Mutila's still in the betting
12-1
for Mark Johnston, I love Mutila. Mm. She's currently working her way gradually up my list of favourite horses, just because she's not very big and no. she's not a great deal to look at. Particularly, she's not sort of small and really muscly. She's just small and lean, but she tries really hard, puts her ears back, and really puts her head down, which I really like in a horse.
Yeah, she's a trier, isn't she?
Yeah, she is, and God loves a trier, man. but she. She won the Sandringham, having just about made all of the running, I think, which is a fair achievement at Royal Ascot. I know Queen Katrine was catching her near the finish and probably should have caught her, in fairness. But, you know, she's still improving. She's from a very good family as well. And if she gets an easy lead with Mark Johnson horses going well, I'd love to see her try and stick her neck out. But I've got a feeling she probably will not be good enough. But if she's third best, I wouldn't be surprised at all behind Integral and Sky Lantern.
She could be the each way play in the race.
Yeah, for me.
She's got in front and try and hold
bowl
on.
Bowl along.
Might just get...
She's won on the July course over a mile already as well. And obviously, he's still improving.
Yeah. Okay. So
and also what's fascinating as well is that her half-sister... Murakabar, I think she's called, who made a winning debut on the July course a couple of weeks ago. He's entered in the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes as well.
Right.
I think that's Friday as well. So it could be a, you know, she's trained by Mark Johnston, also trained the Dam Nafus.
Yeah.
It's a really good family because their other half-brother, Orzan, won the Middle Park. So they're good, you know, good two-year-olds. So I'll be keeping my eyes out for her as well.
Yeah. Interesting. Could be a nice little Mark Johnston double.
Double, right? Yeah. A sibling double.
Yeah.
Hannigan double. Hamdan double.
And Hamdan is having a fantastic season.
Great season.
This year.
Great
Paul
season
Hannigan
as well.
He's riding brilliantly.
Yeah, Togruder. It's great. I love Togruder as well. She's another one that I really like at the moment. Obviously, the Oaks. I'd love to see her running the King George Togruder because I actually think she'd run really well. But I think, obviously, they're going to go for the Irish Oaks because now Mukadram's going to run in the King George after his Eclipse win.
So, good to see him win as well.
It was. I think it was a deserved win as well. It was a very messy race. And I think a couple of the jockeys in behind... You know, if they watch it back in late, you know, a few months' time, they'll think, what a mess that was. Do you know what I mean? So, but obviously, Hannigan sat well, you know, sat in a good position, and the horse is a good horse. He deserves to win. He's been placed in several Group 1s, and he's a Group 2 winner. So, you know, reading the Racing Post in their view, he didn't improve on anything he's shown before to win.
No. If you look at last year's race, he's pretty much done the same thing, set the same fractions. But anyway. That whets the appetite nicely for the July meeting. One more thing just to touch on before we move on to Wednesday's racing. The Ark is a while away, but we've seen a very impressive contender in the shape of See the Moon, who's now 6-1 third favourite with us, behind Australia, who's 4-1, and Trave, who's 9-2. 8-1 for Just Away, Harpstar 12s with Telescope, and 14s for Kingston Hill and Togruder, 16s or bigger price as the rest. I've just been watching the race back with you out in the office, and... It was very, very impressive.
It's unbelievable.
I was astounded.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'd seen the race already, but obviously we watched it with a couple of people who hadn't seen it before, and it does literally take the breath away, because obviously he goes out of camera shot, yeah, because Soumillon lets him roll off the turn to the stands rail, rides him along for about half a furlong, and then eases up, but he's still going clear when he's eased up off him, and the others are pushing and shoving him behind. And I mean, 11 lengths may well have flattered slightly, but still the way he did it, and he's from a really good German family,
yeah,
that got better as they got older. The likes of Schiaparelli, who won the Goodwood Cup for Godolphin, Samum, who won the Grosser Prize von Baden in the German Derby as well, and two or three other horses. Really good, strong staying family. And obviously, Sid the Stars got better as they got older, yeah, as well. So amazing to think that he's a horse who was not sold at the sales last year when he went through the ring. And he's unbeaten in four starts now, including a very impressive win in the German Derby. And obviously, we know the German horses are very good when you look back, Novelist, Daydream, the like,
yeah,
very good. And Christos Soumillon said after the race, if he was in the King George, I think he'd win it. So, but he's not, unfortunately for us. But I think they said that the next race will be the Grosser Prize von Baden, which is the big race in Germany,
yeah,
at Baden-Baden in early September, and then it'll be the Arc. And well, I can't wait to see him run again if that's what he does to the German Derby field.
Yeah, the European handicapper was impressed as well.
He's rated him superior to Australia, yeah, hasn't he?
£2 higher than Australia. So if you go on official ratings, then 6-1, 2 points bigger than Australia is a bit of value.
Well, yeah, if you look at that, you've got Australia, who he's rated inferior to him technically.
Yeah.
Trev, who he's injured and, you know, had not had a good start to the season. And then you've got him. I think if I was having a bet at the moment, I'd probably stick with him, to be honest.
Yeah.
And he handles a little bit of cut in the ground, which you're probably going to get at Longchamp, where Australia on soft ground over a mile and a half, yeah, would worry me.
It would worry me as well, yeah. It wouldn't worry Connections of Kingston Hill, probably. And
no, they'd be loving it.
Yeah, they're aiming at the Arc now. So 14-1 for Kingston Hill. Mm. You can see why, can't you?
Yeah, I can
see why. Mile and a half on soft ground and right up his street.
Yeah, I can see why they're doing it. I mean, to be honest, if it was mine, I'd probably just campaign him in France for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
In fact, I wouldn't have run him in the Eclipse. It was to be honest, I'm miffed as to why they ran him in the Eclipse. I know it rained like an hour before, but there was not enough rain for it to change the ground.
Is it just because they wanted to race him? I mean, they sent him to the Irish Derby, didn't they, and took him out because of the ground. If they took him out again on Saturday, it would be a bit frustrating, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but the Grand Prix de Paris next week, yeah, which is a mile and a half, there might be there's a stronger likelihood of soft ground there than there would have been at Sandown, I think, against his own age group. Personally, that's what I would have done. Because if you take him out of a race because of quick ground over a trip that will suit, why would you then run him over an inadequate trip on ground that won't suit? It's like a step backwards,
yeah,
personally. So I'm surprised. And he actually performed creditably as well, which shows that he's a good horse. Well, he's a very good horse, I'm not sure. Whether he's going to be true a Group 1 horse, I remain to be convinced. But I think he's, you know, very solid and will win good races.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll leave that there. That should just about cover the news for today. Let's move on to Wednesday's racing. Stephen's going to give us his selections.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
On to Wednesday's racing then. Stephen's picked out three races for us. One of them is at Catterick, one at Yarmouth and one at Kempton. So we're going all over the country for Stephen's selections. The 4 o'clock at Catterick is the first of them, and this is a class 4 handicap over the extended mile and 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and there's 8 of them in the lineup here, Stephen. Where do you want to start? I suppose Hallstatt comes into this in good form. I suppose Miss McNamara does as well.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start with Hallstatt first of all. Several things worry me about Hallstatt. A, he's never won off a mark higher than 70, races off 73 here. And I'm not one for sort of pounds here and pounds there, but combining that with the fact that he's now at his highest rating for 4 years,
yeah,
I think it's a bit of a false rating, in the sense that he's won 2 races, both at Nottingham, which he absolutely loves. He's got an outstanding record at Nottingham, and then ran well at Doncaster, which isn't too dissimilar to Nottingham in terms of shape and layout, long home straight and whatever. But I think going to Catterick, which is a completely different kettle of fish to the other two, the fact that he is 8, I don't actually think he's improving. I think he won because they were at Nottingham, not because he's getting better. And now he's off his highest rating for 4 years. I think he's vulnerable, to be honest, Hallstatt.
Okay.
Personally, Miss McNamara, the other one you mentioned, two very good wins over course and distance. Well beaten at Chester 11 days ago. A return to this track, I think, will probably suit her as well. I'm just not a great lover of the Martin Todhunter yard because I can't get a handle on them. They seem to win, you know, it's one of those yards, which we all have, where if I support her, she doesn't win. And when I don't, she will. So okay. I'm not going to support her. So
have a bet.
Yeah, so have a bet. Yeah. Of the others, Dr. Rove won this race off £6 lower mark last year. Yep. Handicap has slightly relented in the weights a little bit the last couple of times. And he was second over course and distance last week. Although that was, again, a weaker race than this one. But I think if he's coming back to a bit of form, PJ McDonald's riding quite well at the moment as well.
Had a double on Tuesday, on Monday, I think.
So. Yeah, did, and he had winners on Friday, Thursday last week. Yeah. He had winners at Catterick last week as well. So he's riding well, PJ. And obviously he's got that big ride coming up at the weekend on Clever Cookie as well. So that hopefully will boost his confidence. And I think he's going to run a good race, probably without winning Dr. Irv. Then the three at the top, we've got, I mentioned Dark Ruler first of all. This is a drop in class after he was third in the Great Metropolitan at Handicap at Epsom, which is always a well-contested race, and he's second at Thirst before that in a good race. Obviously had a break since then, but he's up 4 furlongs in trip now, obviously, to just short of 2 miles. And there's not a lot of stamina in the pedigree. I mean, he was doing well for me to be staying a mile and a half, and I'd have concerns about 2 miles, but I think if he stays, he's got a very good chance. Out of the two, I'm out of the choice of whether he'll stay or not, I'm probably going to err on the side of that he may not. But don't be surprised if he does. I'm not convinced he will, but obviously there's a chance I'm wrong. And then we'll mention Elmer Jest at the top, who the last time he ran in the Class 4 handicap, he won when he won 2 races last year, 1 or 2 stiff tasks after that, and I thought he shaped okay last time out at Thirsk on his seasonal return over a mile and a half. I think the step-up in trip will suit him, and I think he's going to go pretty well. And so Frank Morgan's interesting. All of his wins have been on the all-weather, but he has been placed several times on turf, so I think he's been more, you know, unlucky as opposed to that he doesn't handle it. And Joe Fanning is a master at Catterick, and if he bounces out, sets the fractions and gets an easy lead, he stays really, really well. He's been placed over 2 miles, 1.5 at Bath and places like that. So I think he might be hard to catch. All in all, the race has got to pan out a certain way for it to sort of happen, as I think. And in... I think I'm going to go with Elmer Jest, sort of back down in grade and you know, hoping that he comes on for that first run. But there are one or two things that might happen that will completely change the race, and I'm hoping that I don't think will, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So if Dark Ruler stays, but I don't think he will.
Yeah.
So Frank Morgan gets an easy lead, which I think he might, but again, I'm not convinced, because they might decide to hassle him because they think that will happen themselves. Dr. Irv, I think, might just find it a little bit tough but run well. Hellstadt, I'm not a great lover of back here at Catterick, as I said, and Miss McNamara could win by 10 lengths or be last. and I don't know, because like, I just can't get a handle on the yard or her, really, to be honest. So I'm going to go with Alma Jess, because I think he's the safest option out of all those that we've talked about.
Okay, Alma Jess then, the safest option in the what is now a minefield of a 4 o'clock.
And the next race is even worse than I'm going to look at.
The 4:10, yes, it's a Class 3 handicap over 1 mile and 1 furlong. It's at Yarmouth for 3-year-olds and older. 6 of them in the lineup here. A good race, actually. Genius Boy, probably going to be popular in the betting, having rattled off a hat trick. But you could make a case for all of these.
You could indeed, and actually this, the one I least fancy here is the Mark Johnston horse, Life and Times.
Yeah,
down at the bottom, and he's going to be a big outsider. Genius Boy, you mentioned, he's found a jolt of improvement having been dropped down in trip, because his pedigree screams mile and a half. By New Approach out of an Ashwan mare, seems like that would be perfect, but he didn't seem to love it that much over Thirsk and Beverley earlier in the year. Dropped down to a mile, he won here, then he won over course and distance over 9, and back at Redcar over a mile, where he's doing his best work at the finish, suggesting that back up to 9 will be fine. Fallon's reunited as well, and he got up late to beat Sound Advice by a neck over at Redcar 19 days ago. Sound Advice won at Ayr the other day. The horse was back in fourth. Redcar was second to Sound Advice, so the form's actually worked out okay.
Yeah.
He's now £19 higher than when he started, but he doesn't seem to be stopping in his improvement. But obviously, this is by far the hardest race that he's going to have contested so far. genius boy, and he's got to concede weight to a lot of others. One Pecan is extremely well weighted to reverse the form after being beaten three lengths by Genius Boy on the 3rd of June. But he's not straightforward. He was just touched off at air last time out, and he was always being held. I didn't get the strongest feeling that he really wanted to go past. He wore the hood that day, and they go with the cheek pieces as well as the hood this time. So I don't have a great deal of confidence in One Pecan, despite the fact that on the figures, he should reverse the form with Genius Boy.
Yeah.
But I'm not convinced he will. Ennobled ran fourth in a strong race at Sandown last time, a good race behind Sea Shanty. And I think they evidently think he's better than what we've seen of him so far. He also ran in the Spring Cup first time up at Newbury. He's from a family that improved with age. His Dan Pierce won the Lockinge when she was a five-year-old by Dan Silly, who again, progeny improve as they get older. And I think this extra furlong, smaller field, down in grade, might be the day that Ennobled gets his head in front. I mentioned Examiner, went a couple of times on the all-weather in the winter, and I think confirmed and probably improved slightly on that when he was fourth at Sandown 25 days ago. But I'm not convinced that he's quite as good yet as the others, basically. Although he does get, obviously, a really good pull on the weight for age scale. And then Don't Stare. He's only had five starts, four of them on the all-weather, but the last run was his worst of the five so far. And so he needs to bounce back, really, off the back of a bad run. All in all, I think Ennobled's going to win.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with him. I think Genius Boy is still improving and will go well. I don't trust One Pecan. So I think he will struggle to reverse the form with Genius Boy. Seems to be going the right way, but I think Ennobled will win.
Okay, Ennobled then to win the 410 at Yarmouth. And the final race we're going to look at is the 720 at Kempton. This is a Class 4 handicap over a mile for three-year-olds. It's a London Mile Series qualifier. We have 14 of them in the lineup for this. And where do you want to start here, Steve?
I'll start with Gilby's Mate Mark for John Gosden and William Buick. I thought his third at Doncaster last time was his best run of the season so far. I think he showed a bit of improvement for a bigger field and them going a decent gallop. As opposed to a couple of small field races before that, which didn't really suit him. And hopefully he'll get something similar at Kempton in this race. For all that, he's a very, very tight affair. And I think he's pretty solid. You know, you can't really knock him very much from a good yard. His form's fine. So Gilby's Mate, I think he's a pretty solid contender.
Yeah.
Barry Boy up the top for Reeve Beckett and Jim Crowley. He improved in three maidens last year, but was disappointing on his handicap debut here. That was his first run for nearly 6 months, though, so he might have needed the run, and there's every chance he'll come on for it. And Jim Crowley, obviously a really good rider at Kempton. Hedge End, generally consistent for Hannon and Hughes, but I think will probably be shorter than he should be because of who he's with. He ran his best race 19 days ago of the season when second at Goodwood over 10 furlongs. I don't think the drop back to a mile is ideal, and B, he's been put up £6 for finishing second there, and that was in a class five, and he goes into a harder race here as well. So I think the combination of up in grade and down in trip will conspire against him. Brown-Eyed Honey for William Haggis won a classified race over 7 furlongs here, then had a little break before running over 10 furlongs at Salisbury. He's been off since then for nearly 8 weeks, and now I think that would suggest that there's obviously something not right with her that day.
Yep.
And I think the drop back to a mile will help her as well. And then the one actually fancies, number 10, Be Seeing You. Got some really good form. When you look at his three maidens last year, he was fourth behind Kingston Hill on his debut, just touched off on his second run, fourth behind Elite Army, who obviously won at Royal Ascot as well. All three very good runs last year. So I think it was disappointing on his first run at Windsor when he was fourth this season, which was his handicap debut. However, again, I'm not sure Soft Ground, he really would have loved that day. He's been off for 2 months since then as well, which suggests that all wasn't right afterwards. And 10 furlongs may be a little bit far from him at this point in his career, so he drops back to a mile. And I think if he can get anywhere near close to that maiden form for Roger Charlton and Pat Dobbs, I think he'll win. I think 73 is quite a good handicap mark for him. And I'm prepared to forgive him that last run at Windsor and hope that he can bounce back here at Kempton.
Okay, fair enough. Let's just have a quick summary then, Stephen, if you'll spin us through your selections for Wednesday one more time.
Yeah, in Catrick's 4 o'clock mark, I'm going to go with Elmer Jeth for David O'Meara and Danny Tudhope. In the 4:10 at Yarmouth, Sir Michael Stad and Ryan Moore hopefully will win with Ennobled. And in the 7:20 at Kempton, Be Seeing You. Some good maiden form last year, and I'm prepared to forgive him his poor seasonal debut at Windsor.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Stephen. Should be a good day. Enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go. The thoughts of Stephen Powell on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. It'll be Gary Capewell, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater in the studio. Yarmouth, Lingfield and Catterick are the three afternoon meetings. It's Kempton and Worcester in the evening domestically. And there's also a meeting in Ireland from Nace as well. So six meetings in total. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.